So, a very warm welcome to you all. It's lovely to be together on this first Sunday after Trinity. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Welcome in the name of Christ. God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you, and also with you. When we think we are beyond hope, God's restoring love offers a fresh start. When life is too messed up, beyond hope, God's restoring peace gives hope in our darkness. When we think we are not good enough, Jesus comes offering hope beyond hope. Amen. You call us out of darkness to live in your marvelous light. Let us say sorry to God for all the times we have failed to live in the light of Christ. Lord, you always have time for people. Forgive us that so often we misuse time. We miss opportunities to serve you. Forgive us, Lord, and make us ever hopeful. There are times when we don't have enough faith to hope in you. We don't believe you can heal us in the way we need it most. Forgive us, Lord, and make us ever hopeful. There are times we write people off, decide they're beyond hope. Stay within our own four walls, not venturing out to serve you. Forgive us, Lord, and make us ever hopeful. Amen. Lord Jesus, our living hope, you came to call sinners, not the righteous. As we stand in penitence before you, we have the assurance that we are forgiven. Your powerful, restoring love, the hope of new life ever present, life in all its fullness follows as we come to you with hope in our hearts. Amen. And Liz has our first reading for us.
Our first reading is Genesis 12, starting at verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the people on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, and as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran, and took his wife Sarai, and his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired from Aaron, and they set out the land of Canaan. They arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh and Shechem. At the time the Canaanites were in the land, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he went onward towards the hills in the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord, and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward Negev. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And our psalm this morning are verses from Psalm 33. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-string lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the people. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. And Liz has our gospel reading.
The second reading is Matthew 9, starting at verse 9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call on the righteous, but the sinners. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The predominant theme throughout the Gospel of Matthew is Jesus' declaration that he has come to seek and save the lost sheep of the house of Israel, the Jews. He gets into big trouble for expanding his search to the Gentiles. But in today's reading, Jesus encounters trouble simply by seeking those within the house of Israel, the Jews, who are lost. We know Jesus' heart is for all people. No one is beyond hope. Today's passage opens with Jesus back in his hometown, where he calls Matthew, a tax collector, to follow him. Here we see Jesus not only reaching out to the lost and the lonely, but to the privileged and the powerful. Matthew's story raises the question of inclusion and exclusion, who is in and who is out. At that time, there were people considered by society to be either in or out. There were the Romans, who were in, the occupying power, who had their own society and, as oppressors, looked down at the Jews. There were the Jews, who had their own hierarchies of who was important and who wasn't, who can contribute and who should be shunned, and the Jews looked down on the Gentiles. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, one verse tells an entire story. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at a tax collection station, and he said to him, "Follow me," and he got up and followed him. The call of Matthew is rendered in about 30 English words in the version that I've just read. In Greek, it's almost 10 words shorter. But even so, it is a great story, like a haiku poem, can only be grasped through deep attention. At each stage, a critical point appears that must be felt to be understood. Jesus sees Matthew. Jesus encounters Matthew. Jesus speaks to Matthew. And Matthew responds. So here is the call of Matthew. He is sitting literally at a table in a booth. But the table and the booth symbolize Matthew's unhealthy and degraded identity as a tax collector. Towards him walks Jesus, the source of life's fullness. The English writer Jeanette Winterson says that many great stories begin this way. Once upon a time, there was a person in circumstances that weren't all they had hoped for. And then there was an encounter. In a moment, the bare facts of what is changed to what if, the expansion of possibility. Jesus sees Matthew. He doesn't see Matthew, the tax collector. He sees a full human being. He sees a soul who is sick, but also a person who is more than he appears. Where do our identities come from? They might come from some of the traumatic things that have happened to us. They might also come from ordinary aspects of living, like duty or accident, or the simple human needs for security or esteem. Our identities can be so easily skewed. The contemplative Thomas Keating's identifies how each of us comes into adulthood with a false self that has to be taken apart over time, and even the greatest identities can decay. But it isn't this false self that Jesus sees. He sees, Jesus sees Matthew as he really is, made in the image of God. So Jesus and Matthew have an encounter. It's real and profound. As they truly see one another, something changes. While the text doesn't tell us exactly what happens when Matthew sees Jesus, we can imagine it. Jesus speaks to Matthew. Follow me, he says. I suspect that this interaction is the opposite of all the transactional encounters that have dominated Matthew's life. Jesus isn't making any promises. He doesn't make any promises at all. Early translators would have put it like this: Come and walk the road with me. That choice explains what follow might mean. It's an invitation to a journey, a path. It's not just a command to obey, it's a loving invitation. This is the challenge that Matthew takes up when he responds, not with words, but with actions. Matthew stands up, leaves behind the tax collector's table, and follows. He starts to walk the road with Jesus. The way that he is now walking will take him to all kinds of destinations of which he could not have been aware at the time. Destinations both interior and exterior. He has abandoned the known for the unknown. Matthew tells us that his encounter with Jesus triggers profound and life-changing consequences. The first thing that happens is that the Pharisees challenge the other disciples about the inclusion of Matthew in their group. Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? It's a personal attack. It's a sting. Matthew, having just given up his old identity, is reminded that, in the eyes of others, he is still that other person. That what is new inside him is not yet visible. Jesus himself offers the answer. You don't have to be perfect to walk this road. In fact, it might work out better if you're not. The vulnerability of Matthew's fragile new identity, his emerging self, is the gift that he is bringing with him. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, Jesus said. Through Matthew's eyes and Matthew's experience, we might be able to follow Jesus' command, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Jesus shows that there is no place for saying who is in and who is out within his group of disciples. In the early chapters of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus begins his ministry by calling specific people to be his disciples. And now, Jesus calls Matthew to follow him. The choice of Matthew, you'd have to say, was a little bit out of the box. The other disciples were mainly fishermen. Even as a Jew, Matthew would have been totally surprised when Jesus came into his life, something beyond what he was expecting or could even hope for. When Jesus reached out and invited him to follow and be a disciple, it would have been a total turnaround, not only leaving his life of privilege and ill-gotten wealth, but also following a teacher who obviously upset the establishment. Can you imagine it? When Jesus calls Matthew, it provokes immediate controversy. The Pharisees and Jewish leaders were outraged. And maybe this is Jesus' point. When the Pharisees saw who Jesus was hanging out with, Jesus' response was, "If you're well, you don't need a doctor. I came only to seek and save the sick." In fact, I think that is a little parable. Jesus says to his critics, in effect, "You are all insiders, you Pharisees, you Jewish leaders, saved among the elect. You are already in. You don't need an invitation." In these stories, Jesus invites us to examine our relationship with him and ask the question, have we allowed Jesus into our lives to change us each day as we grow in faith? As I contemplate Matthew's vulnerability, and I also hear the rumbling of the Pharisee inside me, I hear this passage asking me to see old stories with new eyes. As we continue to read Matthew 9, however, the story becomes about remarkable and unexpected healings. Each of them have all the same elements as Matthew's own encounter. The woman whose bleeding has isolated her reaches out. Jesus sees her, encounters her, speaks to her, and healing happens. A powerful man kneels before Jesus and asks for life instead of death for his daughter. Again, Jesus sees, there's an encounter, Jesus speaks, and healing takes place. Like Matthew, we are invited into the edges, into the wild regions, into places where we can explore with courage, without assumptions about this is supposed to go, where healing might mean and what healing might mean in our own contexts. The story of Matthew's calling is about profound grace, about a life turned around. It's a story that calls us to rejoice for all who had been beyond hope and have been found and can claim that Jesus is Lord. It's also a story that challenges each of us to go and share that hope with one another and those who think they are beyond it. Amen. And Liz has our prayers for us.
For you are our living hope. Lord, when we look at the world around us, we are tempted to lose hope. We see wars and rumors of wars and destruction of the planet. People living in poverty or devastated by sickness. Sometimes it feels like there is no way back. Help us to remember that you are in control, that in you and with you, there is always hope for a better future and a better world. So we bring to you now our fears and our hopes and our troubles and our dreams, knowing that you will hear us and bring us hope. Lord, even when all seems lost, we put our trust in you, for you are our living hope. So, Lord, we think about our world. We pray for all the areas where there is war, particularly between Ukraine and Russia and in the Middle East. We pray for the leaders of these nations that they will be prepared to negotiate for peace. We pray for all those who are in dialogue, trying to find diplomatic solutions that will end fighting and mistrust. And we pray for all those affected by conflicts who have lost loved ones, homes, security, who feel there is no way back, who feel beyond hope. Lord, we pray for relief agencies working to bring back hope into the war-torn areas. May they be bringers of your light. Lord, even when all seems lost, we put our trust in you, for you are our living hope. We pray for those we know who are ill and suffering or sad. We pray for those who care for them at home or through the health services and hospices in our neighborhood. We especially remember the people who are close to us, Steph, Jack, Mary, Derek, Alan, Brenda, Joy, Tony, Brian, Nigel, Audrey, John, Richard, Kathy, Bob, Oliver, Mary, John, Mary, Margaret, Colin, and our dear Jemima. Also for Rackingford School, Tiverton High School, and Tiverton Hospital. We pray for the families and friends of those who have recently died, particularly Margaret Tidbull. Lord, give us the wisdom and the words to bring your hope into these painful situations. Lord, even when all seems lost, we put our trust in you, and for you are our living hope. Lord, we remember the young people of our communities who are currently taking stands. Give them clear heads and courage. Help them to be calm when the papers are hard. Give them the hope that they need to succeed. Lord, even when all seems lost, we put our trust in you, for you are our living hope. Lord, we commit the week ahead to you. Shine your light into every situation so that we can see where you are at work and follow your lead. Send us out as people of hope. Bring your love into every place you lead us. Lord, even when all seems lost, we put our trust in you, for you are our living hope. Amen. The Collect for the first Sunday after Trinity. God of truth, help us to keep your law of love and to walk in ways of wisdom, that we may find true life in Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.
Trusting in the compassion of God as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and for ever. Amen. May God, who loves you and has chosen you, strengthen you to live as God's holy people, and may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you and those you love and pray for, this day and always. Amen. Go, the service is ended, but our service in the world begins. May God strengthen and encourage us as we go to live lives of gratitude, spilling over into loving responses of joyful caring. Amen. Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you so much, Liz.
Thank you.
Lovely to see you all.
Thank you.
See you next week. See you next
Thank
week.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Lovely to have your company.
Happy birthday, Helen.
Happy birthday for tomorrow.
Happy birthday, Helen.
Yeah, thank God bless.
Bye-bye.
Enjoy. Lots of love. Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 Have a good week, everyone.
Bye.